Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. From the very start of the Biden presidency, we were told the occupant of the Oval Office was obsessed with his legacy. 3.5 years later, that legacy can be summed up with a few choice words: division, failure, incompetence, and shame. History will remember Joe Biden. Crosstalking Biden's legacy, I'm joined by my guest, Matthew Arrett, in Montreal. He's a senior fellow at the American University in Moscow and director of the Rising Tide Foundation of Canada. In Bellingham, we have Patrick Lawrence. He is a columnist and author of Journalists and Their Shadows. And in Denver, we cross to Tyler Nixon. He is an attorney and political strategist. All right, gentlemen, crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Patrick, let me go to you first, because you actually inspired this program with your article, The Wreckage Biden Leaves Behind, which you can find at consortiumnews.com. You write, a lightweight when it came to time to prove himself as a statesman and a leader, the White House has simply defeated him. What do you mean by that?
It's one thing, Peter, to as we say in American English, roll logs in the Senate for 30 years and so forth, right? But the White House, there's no hiding in the White House. And he just was not, the old phrase, he just wasn't presidential timber, right? He had various committees. I think finance was one, notably the chaired the Foreign Affairs Committee. He's not a statesman. He was faking and faking and misrepresenting for decades in Congress. And again, you can get away with that stuff in Congress, but you can't in the White House. Very kind of low caliber person. Just on a personal note, I had dinner last Christmas with a venture capitalist who actually interacted with Biden during his time on the Senate Finance Committee. And he said, without prejudice or anything, an astonishingly stupid person, just, you know, at native intelligence, right? It's just not there.
You know, Tyler, I said in my introduction a few choice words associated with Biden. And for me, you know, it's essentially incompetence, kind of echoing what Patrick had to say. I mean, he was the wrong person in the wrong place at the wrong time. But he was foisted upon us, okay? And actually, he's kind of concretized a anti-democratic streak even within the Democratic Party. I would even say maybe the body politic. But, I mean, you know, everything associated with the guy, there's a downside to it, in my opinion, Tyler.
Well, it's interesting, and thanks for having me on, Peter. I've known Joe Biden for over 40 years. I went to church with him every Sunday. I went to school with Bo and Hunter. And I've studied the man closely. I went to his 84 Senate kickoff, and then I began studying his record. And I was 12 years old at the time. I was a little sort of a neophyte to politics. But I studied what he did in the Senate. And immediately began working for his opponent, John Burris, where I stuffed envelopes all summer for that in the Reagan-Bush campaign. When Joe Biden began running for president, the more I got to know this man, and I knew him just as, you know, someone from church every Sunday. My parents owned the lot next to his property that he sold to an MBNA executive for like three times what it was worth after they ran it into the ground. And I always felt that this man was not only a pompous, pandering, lightweight, but also a dangerous, absolutely a dangerous person. And he was actually on the Senate Judiciary and the Foreign Affairs Committee, not the Finance Committee. Fortunately, the other senator, the great man who I worked for, Senator Bill Roth, was the chairman of the Finance Committee at the time. But that being said, the assessment by the previous speaker is absolutely spot on. Joe Biden was elected too young, and now he's serving too late in the life. So he has the dubious distinction of being too young for what he was doing. Now he's too old for what he's doing. But he's always basically spent his life beating his chest, puffing himself up, briefing himself up on issues about which he has no depth, no knowledge, beyond what he's been briefed on, and was able to BS and sort of sweet talk or pander his way to, I guess, just being reelected.
But well, I would even go further, Tyler, lying. I mean, he's a notorious liar. It's extraordinary. Well, considering in this campaign environment that Trump lies all the time. Well, Trump is very economical with the truth. I'd be willing to say that. But Joe Biden lies a lot. Matthew, I mean, one of the things that Biden said he would bring is unity. I've never seen such a divisive person in my life in politics. I mean, basically half of the population became an enemy in his eye and in the eye of his party. Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, it was all well and nice that he said that it was time to unite the country and that this political violence was a sign that we need to work together and unite. But at the same time, yeah, like you said, he's got a whole track record of coming out staged as though he was Darth Vader just a couple of years ago, calling out the entire half of the entire.
Oh, you're talking about the Mussolini speech. Yeah, right.
Yeah, with the red light and silhouetted enforcers behind him. I mean, it was like something out of a bad movie. And he's calling out half the American population as being akin to terrorists who don't respect the Constitution, that something needs to be done about them, that he came out just a few days before this hit on Trump attempt, saying that it's
Matthew,
time for someone
exactly,
to put a bullseye on Trump. Yeah,
you're exactly right, Matthew. He started in after the January 6th events with the domestic extremism theme.
Right.
Did it ever occur to these people that when you start talking in those terms, you are condemning as extremists something, to go by the vote count, approximating half of American people, right? This is unity. The inauguration was all about unity, unity. He had no intention of doing that, and I would add once more, no capacity to bring Americans together.
Well, Tyler, in that same vein here, we saw how the justice system had been weaponized. That is really, that's probably, outside of the foreign policy blunders, which we'll have to deal with for decades ahead. But, the weaponization of the judicial process is also a legacy that is hard to push back from. Go ahead, Tyler.
Joe Biden has always been a demagogue. He was one of the first to come out. And if you look at his speech in 1987 to the NAACP, where he called Jeff Sessions outright a racist, and it's always been about pandering to what he perceived as his the core audiences, and using any tactics necessary, including demonizing his opponents. He was part of the Borking of Judge Bork, basically right there with Ted Kennedy, and Biden is it's just he's never. He's never seen an opportunity that he wouldn't take, no matter how base or debased it was. Yet he could never back it up. His drug war policies alone have been devastating to this country. The mandatory minimum sentences, and it kept going. I mean, it's like the Biden crime bill. That's all you heard about in the 1980s and the 90s. Well, if any of them previous Biden crime bills had worked, why do we keep needing more Biden crime bills? That was always my question. He would take on, he would grandstand and sort of march to the head of a parade he should have never been in. He did this with foreign policy, with the Iraq War. He talked about partitioning Iraq into different provinces. I mean, his ideas have always been completely extreme and lunatic. And it's always because Joe Biden has always needed, since he was elected and probably since he was young with his, quote, stutter, his life has been spent trying to prove wrong what he thinks other people think of him.
Yeah.
The problem with Joe Biden is that what other people think of him is correct, that he's a lightweight and a buffoon.
Yeah, well, Matthew, I mean, again, in the same vein that we heard from Tyler, I mean, growing up and being interested in politics, I always thought of Joe Biden as a segregationist.
Well, he didn't have a very good reputation.
Does anybody remember what his stand on busing was? Because he was for it and he was against it. I mean, what is his position? That's what I'm getting at here, Matthew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, one of the other two gentlemen could go into greater detail there, but he definitely was he didn't have any consistent position beyond whatever his handlers would deploy him to do and to advance at any given time. I was just thinking very quickly about his omnibus terror bill in 1994, 95 in response to the Oklahoma City bombing, which Karl Rove later on said that he used as the direct takeover or the direct inspiration for the Patriot Act after 9/11. Literally, I mean, the entire basis of the Biden bill created the Patriot Act. So, I mean, there's been a that was the basis for the entire assault on domestic terrorism as the new enemy to unite the people around a threat after the conventional external terrorism became a little bit, I guess, dated. Now there was this already to start a war on the American population itself, with the idea of conservative extremism being the form that it would this boogeyman was going to take. And they've been acting accordingly for the past 4 years, putting American patriots in prison. There's hundreds, if not more, in prisons all over America still after 4 years illegally. Yeah. This has not been addressed properly by anyone. And again, what Biden was doing in the 90s or his handlers were having done for him while he was yapping away, is the precedence upon which all this is happening.
Well, Patrick, I mean, it's interesting is that it was Obama that resurrected a failing political career. We have to remember when Obama was in office, the Democrats lost over 1,000 seats in different levels of government, local and federal. Mm. And then he gave us Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Democratic Party is quite opaque. You can't really see into it very confidently. I mean, maybe the other guests have insights, but there's a certain machine quality
yes.
to it. Okay,
yeah.
And I don't want to oversimplify, and I stand ready to be corrected. But it looks to me as if, to a certain extent, it was Joe's turn. Right? It was Joe's turn, and this goes to a point you raised when I got notes on this program in advance. The functions of the Democratic Party elite are just radically undemocratic.
They
have
Patrick, hold that thought. We have to go to a hard break, and after that hard break, we'll continue our discussion on Biden's legacy. Stay with RT.
I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaVelle. To remind you, we're discussing Biden's legacy. Okay, Patrick, let's go back to you. I mean, it's interesting that you brought up the Democratic Party and the democratic process, which those two seem to be antithetical at this point. Well, Hillary Clinton was hoisted upon us in 2016, cheating Bernie Sanders. Also in 2020, again, it was it wasn't based on who was popular with the population, with voters, but it was Barack Obama who decided, again, at the expense of Bernie Sanders. And now it's really quite interesting. These kind of shenanigans have stabbed Joe in the back. I mean, it couldn't have happened to a better fellow, Patrick.
There is what we're looking at with Biden, they shouldn't have kept him in office as long as, you know, they should not. His defense in his final days was not right. It was not justified. But to go to the larger and deeper point, I think what we are looking at in the Democratic Party is a quite serious liberal authoritarian streak.
Yep.
You know, liberal authoritarianism is my name for it. Others may have other names for it. But I find it more dangerous than I find the Democrats more worrisome than Trump and whoever stands on the other side. Trump will come and Trump will go. But liberal authoritarianism, you can go back to de Tocqueville with this, right, is going to be very, very hard to dislodge, right? And we just had a demonstration of its merciless way of proceeding. Joe Biden is now discarded goods, right?
Yep.
He was a great president, and now he's not. You know, he has to go. He's not competent. And we're going to get it all with Kamala Harris. And I'm telling you, now, the hype that's going to accompany Kamala Harris's candidacy is going to be beyond the belief of anybody on your screen.
Well,
we're already
seeing it. Apparently, Patrick, she has no record to criticize. That's what I keep hearing. She's a blank slate. You know, she's done nothing wrong. That's what, it's amazing. Okay, and then the attacks on J.D. Vance, well, his comments about single women and cats is spot on. I liked it. Okay, Tyler, considering the legacy here, I think maybe it's being a little premature. I mean, who has been running the Biden presidency? I mean, look at him. I mean, he's not running it.
You know, I've contemplated this question, and it's quite interesting because, Biden was selected by Obama because he was at least as corrupt as Obama was and double sort of two-faced, let's just say. And I think similarly, Biden chose Harris because she was just, I think, just as vacuous and sort of pandering and not really having any core. Biden rose, basically he was the tallest of the pygmies in the Democrat race and has been pining his entire life to be president.
Yeah.
And he would have done or said anything at that point to get the nomination. And he did. He was just sort of the like whores in old buildings, eventually become respectable. And that's sort of what Biden's fate was. They realized that he was malleable and he would do anything they wanted. So unfortunately, the hardcore left that is now in the control of the Democrat Party, the authoritarian, totalitarian left, has had their opportunity to have essentially a seat filler president. It's the pointless presidency. I mean, all the talk Joe Biden over 30, 40 years of all his grandiose designs and plans and his insinuations into American foreign policy as well as just domestic policy to a lesser extent amounted to what? He let every loon run the, it was the loonies running the asylum, essentially. There was no leadership, no coherence to it. It was essentially like a presidency by portfolio, which unfortunately meant that all the Russia war hawks have dragged us into this Ukraine debacle, pulled out of Afghanistan with just as much. I mean, let's face it, that was just so they could ramp up for the Ukraine conflict. I mean, it's like, oh, we're getting you out of a war, a 20-year war you got us into, right into another one. And this one bringing on World War III. And I think, unfortunately, you had a lot of mid-level midwits in the administration who essentially ran, like I said, it was the lunatics running the asylum. So all this crazy stuff, like having trannies flashing their you-know-whats on the White House lawn. I mean, look, if Biden was actually in charge of his presidency, he'd be like any other president. I mean, to get that far, you need good political instincts. In the case of Biden, they stole it for him. But that being said, he had no way to throttle back the lunacy. So it's just been like pedal to the metal of every – I mean, the border alone, it's like, my God, who would not think, geez, this is not good, you know, just from the perspective of what it's costing and causing.
Well, you know, Tyler, I mean, this is kind of the presidency of don't believe your lying eyes, okay? I mean, that's what it, you know, if you want to find a label for it. You know, Matthew, it's already been brought up here, but, I mean, this senseless war in Ukraine, that's Biden's war. I'm befuddled why Trump doesn't just say that. It's not my war, it's his war, okay? I seriously doubt if Trump is elected, he wants to inherit this war. But we'll see when you have Lindsey Graham and people like that around. You know, it's a depressing thought. Mike Pompeo, people like that. But that is going to be his lasting legacy. I think it's already been brought up, the withdrawal from Afghanistan and the senseless war in Ukraine. Matthew.
And by the way, that previous characterization of Biden was devastating. I did appreciate that entire thing. Now, what you're saying here, yeah, I think that it's very clear that Biden was behind the unleashing of this monstrosity on the borders of Russia that have led to this current crisis from the standpoint of his role as a the king of graft overseeing with Victoria Nuland the growth of this entire monstrosity of Banderite worshiping creatures. That's a Biden legacy directly. I mean, his ability to even fire the attorney general who was carrying out an investigation of Burisma and then brag about it at the CFR, saying that he was threatening to withhold $1 billion of loans unless there was something done about this figure who was investigating the agency that was behind not just the coup itself, but the entire extraction of wealth on behalf of a bunch of Western elites, of which his son was a positioned member, and that he demonstrably benefited from quite a bit. He's got a lot to be afraid of as far as things that are going to go public should Trump take the presidency and we get some form of a new direction for Ukraine, God willing. I don't know if it's even possible at this point.
Yeah, well, Biden, you know, the corruption is nothing new in the swamp there. But the Biden family, and they were just really slobs about it, just really sloppy and, you know, and primitive here. Okay, let's go to Patrick now. You wanted to jump in. Go ahead.
Yeah, Peter, I'm sure the Ukraine, the proxy war in Ukraine is a very considerable focus from where you're sitting. But we there are other things to note here. This is an administration that blew up a pipeline in Europe radically, you know, counter to international law. And the China relationship is a complete mess. He has intensified tensions across the Pacific very, very considerably. The Taiwan situation is becoming a bit dangerous. And then, of course, Gaza. There's no hiding from Gaza. I just wanted to add a little bit of a list there, right? There are other items that one could put on it, Europe and so forth. But I want to also mention, what will he be remembered for? Well, we need to be careful. The degree of media manipulation that has gone on during the Biden years is without precedent. We need to be aware. I'm not sure how much Americans will remember of all this, because it's not really very clear how much your average American even knows about it.
Well, right? I mean, Patrick, we can add on to that. You know, how much will Joe Biden remember? Okay, I mean that's a real issue. I mean, you know, the only way he will be remembered is because he's just being thrown out like garbage. Okay, he was a garbage politician, had a garbage presidency, and he's been dispensed with here. Maybe we'll learn something from his presidential library, if it's ever built. You know, Tyler, what do you think his lasting legacy will be? Because we're very much in this election cycle. We're having this reinvention of Kamala Harris, which everyone up until 15 seconds ago said nobody ever liked. Now we're going to say she's the most loving, compassionate politician of all time. Tyler.
Well, there's a saying, you can't polish a turd. And I think the Biden presidency really fits that. It's illegitimate from the outset. He was asleep at the switch at best. Can you think of a single memorable moment or speech that would be to Biden's credit, not his stumbling up the steps, not his falling down left, right, and center, not his slurring his words and you know, sort of stammering and wandering around. I can't think of a single moment. I mean, we talked about the fascist speech he gave. I mean, that might be the best. And, you know, I think it's very fitting that he gave his remarks yesterday at the LBJ Library. LBJ, one of the single most evil, corrupt, ruthless, murderous demagogues and monsters ever to inhabit the White House, and all he could do is sit and praise him.
Well, Tyler, I'll push a little bit back. All the words you use may be true, but he was an effective politician, unlike Joe Biden.
No question.
I admire leadership. You know, they don't have to have sterling qualities. Okay, you know, or somebody like Margaret Thatcher, again, an amazing leader. Let's go to Montreal. Finish it off. 25 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, I think that Biden's inauguration of that involved a little homage to the Hunger Games, with Lady Gaga coming out literally explicitly in the dress of the Hunger Games main announcer, I think was a very big characterization and theme of the entire 4 years coming off of that. And I think that that's one of the biggest challenges America has now, is to avoid falling into the traps being set for it, to go into a very, very dangerous civil war potential amidst an economic collapse that was accelerated by Biden.
I want to leave on a positive thought. Maybe a Kamala Harris administration will make the Biden administration look good historically. Who knows? That's all the time we have, gentlemen. I want to thank my guests in Bellingham, Denver, and in Montreal. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. And remember, Crosstalk Rules.